If you don't sense the presence of the Lord, then you just need to take another step. Sometimes the Spirit of God can be moving, and you can be thinking about too many things. And, every church we go to, there's always a certain degree of people that haven't learned how to yield and respond and flow with the Holy Spirit. But God doesn't invade people and override people's will. He goes where He's welcomed. And He satisfies the longing soul, and He filleth the hungry soul with His goodness. God's got impartations, revelations, divine secrets, wisdom, manifestations of gifts of the Holy Ghost for you. Things that you have need of, He's got available to you. But He can't get them to you until you open up your heart and let Him come in. It takes an active decision on your part to say, I want more than what I have and where I've been. And so if you're already in this service where the Spirit of God is already moving, Brother Daniel, you can do with that whatever you want to help us out. But if you're here tonight, look at me. Everyone look up here. If you feel dry, there's something here for you today. And already in every song, the worship, from the joy of the Lord to all those worship songs, we were given such amazing opportunities to make a connection with the One who has everything that you need. And already we've been admonished to lay aside your plans and lay aside your ways. He said if you'll delight yourself in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. Is there anybody who has any desires, any vision, anything that you want and need from Him? Anybody here? Well, I want you to know the connection point to you receiving is you drawing nigh unto Him. And no one can do that for you. You have to do that for yourself. Even a person who goes to a bar, the person sitting next to him can't drink for the one who actually is thirsty. You can't drink for someone else. If you're going to get filled with some new wine, you're going to have to take a drink yourself, honey. You're going to have to pull yourself up to the table. You're going to pass me one of those. I'll have what she's having. Do you know what I'm talking about? The kingdom of God, when Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine where there's excess. So you know there's excess in drinking wine. Come on, don't look all religious on me out there. There's access. That's why you'd be better off just totally avoiding it. Because there's just access. I didn't mean to get on your sacred cow about whether it's right or wrong to drink. Let's just leave that alone for a second, all right? But what I'm saying is, but He said, be being filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, how do you get filled with the Holy Ghost? You don't get filled by watching. You don't get filled with the Holy Ghost by just thinking. You get filled with the Holy Ghost by drinking. Hallelujah. Why don't you just lift up your hands and take a drink right now? Hallelujah. You know where your supply is. You know where your answer comes from. Come on now. You can't do it yourself. If you could have done it yourself, you would have already done it by now. You would have already fixed it by now. You already made all the changes you could have made. But now you know that God's got it. He's able. He'll do it. He's got all the wisdom, all the power, all the ability, everything you ever needed, everything you ever wanted. He's all of that. He is your baptizer. He is your redeemer. He is your healer. He is your provider. He is the soon and coming King. He is Jehovah. He is El Shaddai. He can override and supersede and reverse and accelerate natural laws for you if you believe Him today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I feel a little better released now. I just, you know, after hearing that song, He is here and all those things He is, and some people are sitting there going, I personally have a hard time relating to that because I remember where I was before Jesus healed me. I remember where I was. What I didn't know how I was going to make it financially. I remember the feelings. When I didn't know how in the world are we going to pay our bills. I remember those times. Some of us need to have a better memory today. And say, look what the Lord has done. I said, look what the Lord has done for you. Just like Paul told Timothy, come on, stir up that gift on the inside of you. The gift of joy. The gift of victory. The gift of peace. Everything He is on the inside of you. You're a son of God today. You are a manifestation, a demonstration of the sonship of the King of Kings today. Hallelujah. And we're here to celebrate. I said, we're here to celebrate. We're here to celebrate His goodness. Celebrate the mercy of God. Celebrate the power of God. Celebrate who He made you. He's risen you up and you're seated in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Shout really good one time. Come on, let's just blow it out one more time. Can we just give it to Him one more time? Come on, lift your voice. Lift your shout. Hallelujah. You got the victory, child of God. You're not going to be free. You already set you free. With whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Come on, child of God. You're free today. I said you're free today. Express your freedom. Express your victory. Express your joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know if that made anybody else feel better, but I feel better now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you can be seated. Hallelujah. I was just wondering if some of you were fully redeemed or not. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all were just doing the stare thing. I tell you, I've never seen a stare move God to do miracles. Hallelujah. Are you excited? You know, could you say with me that it was already just good to be here today? Man, is it like that all the time here? Man, is it like that all the time? I figure it probably was. Aren't you blessed? How many of you know that we've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings? And we have the privilege to enforce our rights in Christ. Amen. Yesterday afternoon, sometimes you just got to get out of the hotel room and go do something just for fun. And I travel with my golf clubs. We got any golfers in the house here today? Anybody? Where's my brother here that was going to hook me up? Oh, there he is back there. You're with me today, right? Man, you're way too... I need your anointing closer than that. But yesterday I went over to, not to play a round of golf or anything, but just I practiced, you know, putting and chipping, pitching. Some of you that don't mean anything to you, but anyways, I met a man that was standing over there, and he says, "What brings you to town?" I said, "Well, I'm a minister in town." And he says, "Where are you ministering?" I said, "This church called Redeeming Love Christian Center." You know, you always wonder what's people going to say after that, you know, because you all are that church. You know. You are that church, you know, that church over there that believes they got the victory, you know, that church over there that believes they're prosperous and they've been raised up together with Christ. They, you know, that church that believes that they can have healings and miracles and just flow in God, and they don't just pray to God. That church over there, they actually believe they hear from God, and they actually believe they got the victory before it happens. That church that I'm talking about, the one that doesn't believe in any kind of form of defeat or just being under. You just always believe you're over. You know, so you know, I'm always wondering what people are going to say when you say you're going to that church. You know, and I said, "Yeah, you're welcome to come over." Is that guy here this morning? I'm just curious. I invited him here. I knew he was going to come. I just knew that by the Spirit. But you know, you at least give a try. You know, you just at least give a try. I said, "So you're invited to come. You know, we're just going to celebrate Jesus. I said, we're going to be uplifted. We're going to be encouraged in the Lord. We're just going to be in the presence of God and just enjoy a good time in God. He said, well, how long is the service? Of all questions to ask, how long is that going to take? Now, you know, all that stuff you just said sound really good, but can he do it in 45 minutes? Well, I don't know. That depends on you. You all didn't get that. See, it takes a long time for some people to get it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I said, it takes a long time for some people to get it because they just sit out there like a bump on the log. Brother, did you work the late shift last night? All right. Stay with me, brother. Stay with me. You don't want to sleep in this service today because I will have you finish my scriptures. If I see you nodding off, I'm coming after you. You think you're laughing because you think I'm kidding. Annie, am I kidding? Okay. You are put on notice. If I see the mouth going wide open with a big yawn, listen, let me help you out. Help the preacher out that if you at least, you know, hide your yawn. I mean, you know, we don't want to see your tonsils. We really don't. Help a preacher out. People on the second row. Dear Jesus, could you help a brother out? I mean, I've actually heard people yawn out loud. It's like, could you help a preacher out? Anyways, hey, listen, I got a message today. Just bear with me, all right? But this man said, how long is that service? He didn't ask what time does the service start. Because that would be fair. He could say, 10 o'clock, I'm supposed to be at a morning Sunday shift at 11. And, you know, 10 o'clock would just push me too tight to get there. But he didn't ask what time it started, so he could figure out if he has enough time to go. His question was, how long do I have to be in that service? Sounds like a good Catholic man to me. I'm not against Catholics. As long as they believe in Jesus and they believe that he's the only way, the truth, and the life. And Mary has never saved anyone. And Mary won't get you to heaven. Jesus said, if any man come unto me, you know, he said, if you're going to come unto the Father, you have to come by me. He said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. And so if you're going to go to the Father, if you're going to make it to heaven, you have to come by the way of Jesus because he's the only one that died for man's sins. So, you know, if you're Catholic here today, God bless you. We're glad you're here. And if you're saved and Jesus is your Lord, man, we're all one body. Amen. But I have a relative that he pastors an Italian church in Chicago. And, you know, there's a lot of Catholic people in Chicago and Italians and a lot of Catholics, and one of the first thing they want to know is, how long is that service going to be? Because, man, I don't think I can handle more than an hour and 5 minutes. My meter stops at an hour and 5 minutes. How many of you know that Jesus did not wear a watch? Come on, somebody. I said, how many of you know Jesus did not wear a watch? Now, I don't know what time your Sunday morning service is over, and I'm not even going to look at your pastors right now, what time your service, because we just got to obey God. Can I tell you something? We really love this church. And we love you. Everyone look up at here. There's nothing. I'll tell you what. I promise. Listen, I'll make a deal with you. If anyone gets up in this service and walks differently than what you or I have ever seen, I promise I won't let you miss it. Is that a deal? Because, I mean, every now and then you got someone. You know, if that happens today, I promise to you, I will not let you miss that. Other than that, people just get up and they walk. But I can't minister to you effectively if you're looking at someone else when the Holy Ghost is talking. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
How many of you know I love you?
Yes.
Listen, I love you so much. I got a message for you. And I believe I got words from heaven for you. And it's so important. And I need you to hear every word. I know we've been kind of silly so far, having a little fun. It's good to have fun in church. Amen? Amen. And you know what? Since we just laughed a little bit and had a little good time, would you not take that time off my message? Because, you know, I'm just simply warming up. Some of you are going, now, who is this guy? Do we like him or not? You know, we're thinking the same thing about you right now. Okay, so... No, that I was just kidding. We've already made up our mind. We love this house. We love Pastor Greg and Ed, and we love you. Some of you greatly by faith, but we love you. Do you know why you're here today? I need a microphone. Brother Gregory, do you have a microphone? Where's that microphone, the cordless? Okay, I'm going to come out there. Be nervous, be very afraid. But I need to get some thoughts from you. Because I want to know why you're here. Now, I need to ask someone a question why you came this morning. And I need it to not be a veteran Redeeming Love Christian Center, because you will be too wise and too smart. Because if you've been to this church for more than 10 years, you know why you're here. But I'm just curious, do you know... It's important that you have a church and you have a pastor. And you know what's amazing is most people in most churches don't even know why they go to church. Now, I've been in the ministry since I was 2, and I'm 52. I've sat at tables with the who's who. I mean, I could make a long list and impress you with the people that I've talked with and had dinner with. And I've been with the generals. And wouldn't you like to know some thoughts about churches and church people that some of the generals just talk about behind closed doors? Some of you are going, I don't think I want to know that. No. Wouldn't you like to know some of the things that some of the people... They desire for you, and some of the number one things that they wish you as a sheep, as a church goer, would know and get a hold of. Would you like to know some of those things that the heart of heart of God's heart and God's ministers, what they have in their heart for you and what they wish you would really get a hold of finally? Anybody would like to know some of those things? How think that would help you? Who's been here for less than 5 years? Lift your hand. You've been here 5 years. Okay, I see one over here. What is the reason why... Now listen, I'm going to ask this question, and don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I just want truth. If why you came here is because you want to show off your new hair weave you just got this week, I want to know that. You got a new weave, that's why you're here today. I want to show all the saints I got it. I want to know. Because, you know, that is why some people came to church. I came here because I love the fellowship. Great, I want to hear that. But I either want to know exactly, truthfully, why you came today. Or why you, in your heart of hearts, why you believe you were to be here today. That's what we're looking for. But we're looking for truth. We're looking for total honesty. Why did you come? All right, sis, why did you come here today? Someone drag you here? What's up? why'd you come?
When you asked the question, the first thought that came to my mind was to be encouraged and to love on God.
Amen. To be encouraged and love on God. How many of you say those are some pretty good reasons right there? Amen. I like that. To be encouraged. To be loved on, we need to experience the love of God. Now, I understand there was a couple hands over here. You've only been here for 5 years or less. Lift your hand. Okay, sis, why did you come here today?
I'm just really grateful, and I wanted a place that I could share my gratitude with.
Amen. Amen. How many would say that's good? That's a good heart. So you want to share your gratitude for all that the Lord has done. Okay, what did you come here today for?
To exhort one another and to serve each other.
Amen. How many of you believe those are good things to do? Anybody else here? You've been here for 5 years or less. Raise your hand. Help us out. Wow, has everybody been here 20 years? Okay, I'll say, just shout it out. Why are you here? For a fresh anointing. Now, did you just say that because I preached that Friday night? Or is the Holy Ghost telling you stuff? No, you came here for a fresh anointing and to be built up. Okay, I love that. Well, that's good enough. Okay, here's the microphone back. I want to talk to you about why you come to Redeeming Love Christian Center. Because although, let me do this now. If you've been here for 10 years or more, who here believes you know why you're to be here? Raise your hand. Why do you believe you're supposed to be here? She almost stole my message. I'm done. God bless you. I have nothing else to say. She said, did you hear her? She said, the reason why she came here today is because this is where the Lord directed her and led her. Now, I really don't have to go any further and ask any more questions. See, I found a veteran here. And she knows them. So that's why I wanted to talk to those that have only been here for 5 years, because there's different needs at different levels. And the younger you are in God, or the younger you've been at this church, because if you've been here for a while, you know some stuff. You should know some stuff. You should be walking in some stuff. And, but she said the Lord directed her here. Now that's scriptural, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that, know ye not that you're the temples of the Holy Ghost, and you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. How many of you know that we're under the lordship of Jesus? And Jesus said this, or the word says this in the 12th chapter. Why don't you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Just really simply put, I want to tell you why anyone, Brother Daniel, my mic is aiming down, so if you need to roll these monitors off, that would be fine. Great, thank you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Two reasons why you should be in this building. And that is because God set you here, led you here, and set you in the body. Number one, because you're not your own, you've been bought with a price. We're under the lordship of the head of the church. And he is the one that places people and sets people into every member into the body of Christ as it pleases him. So, number one, you should be at the church that God has set you in, number one. But let me explain this like this. Number two, where you go to church and the reason why God would set you in any church is because you have found and God has shown you who your man of God is. Now, when I say man of God, it's that the man or men who represents God, the office of that gift, the pastor. That is the main reason why you should be at this church. If you sense that God, by His Spirit, has led you here, that's because you are in connection to this scripture right here, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, in verse 13, it says, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,
Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. Notice that there was nothing mentioned here about how good the basketball courts at the church are. Notice it says nothing at all about whether their praise and worship team is like the best concert you've ever been to. Now, there's a lot of people that go to a lot of churches because they rock. I mean, the subwoofers are turned up like a rock concert, and I like it myself. How many of you like a good old bam on the low end? Some of you all have been riding those low riders for some time. If you don't have an 18 subwoofer in your car, it's not happening good enough for you. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, I like the rock concert feel, man. I mean, your pastors went out to Amplify out there at Rhema, and man, they beefed up their sound system. And if you were sitting on the back row, it's like, boom, boom. But I mean, they rocked. The walls shook, did they not? And Pastor Ed comes back and goes, man, I like that. I need to have one of them, you know? I mean, can you believe a guy that looks like that likes to rock that much? I mean, that's awesome. Come on now. That is awesome. This man amazes me. He goes, man, I like that. And I said, I'm glad you like that. I like you because you like that. But a rock concert at church isn't why you choose the church. You don't get to choose a church because you like the color of the sanctuary. Well, they got a great youth department. So we're going to take our whole family over there. Now, I'm starving, but my kids enjoy going there. Well, let's break that down for a moment. The last time I checked, pastors train children. Children do not train. I mean, you know, parents train children. Children do not train the parent. So if the parent is starving, but the kids are enjoying really why they... Most kids aren't smart or wise enough to know what they need. And what they get all excited about sometime isn't what they need. It's because they're playing basketball in the backyard while you're going to the dry church. And then they're not getting what they need, and you're not getting what you need, and all of a sudden there's a collapse in the system. Why? Because someone chose to go to a church just because their kids like it there. Now, I could go on and on and on and on and on and on about the many reasons why people go to churches. And 99% of those reasons would all be wrong. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see very clearly the church you're supposed to be at is God set every member in the body as it pleases Him, not as it pleases you. What you need and what, how many of you believe that God knows what you have need of that's going to help you more than at every spiritual development level of your life? He's got more wisdom than you do to know what you're going to need the most throughout your journey. How many of you would sign on with that? And so sometimes it's not always what you think, what you know, all the thrills and bells and whistles that maybe a church has or doesn't have. I know people that come out of Presbyterian churches, Methodist churches, and they'll come over to a Word of Faith church and tell the pastor of the church, I haven't gotten this much revelation in the last 10 years at my church. This service tonight totally changed it for me, rocked my world. I received more from God in this one service than I did. And the pastor goes, you know what, do you believe that that might be that there's a change for you? That you may have found the place where God feeds you and ministers to you. Oh, I could never leave my church. No. Why? Because they got social ties. You shouldn't come to this church or leave this church for the wrong reasons. This should not be your social gathering. Matter of fact, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1, I'm going to paraphrase it really quick because we want to keep moving along, but it basically says this, that the house of the Lord is not a place for man to meet with man, but it's a place for man to meet with God. When you come into this place, I like to put it this way, this church, if this is your home, this is your church, if this is where God's planted you, then this is the place where God sends you your mail. And that's why some people don't get their mail. How many of you know that it's important to get your mail? Whether it's an email or if it's a text mail, whatever kind of mail. You know, we don't write letters anymore like they did here. But, you know, there is mail that's important that you get so that you don't miss the information that you need for the right time of your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Do you know that in Matthew chapter 9, why don't you turn there? Now, y'all can look happy. I'm not going to beat you up today. This is going to be a good one. I promise it's going to turn out really good. All right? You're going to be happy. You're going to be glad, most of all, that you are where God's placed you. And I just believe this is something the Lord has directed us to do. And if you want to have some fun and get, you know, really happy and shout a whole lot, get Friday night's tape, okay? And tonight, anything goes. But I really believed that the Lord, part of our assignment in coming here this weekend was to give you this word right here. And I had no intentions or plan to, but last night as I was just meditating and waiting on the Lord, I couldn't get away from this direction. So we just trust God, amen? But look what it says here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 says, and Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were weary. Everyone say they were weary. Do you know anybody like that? And it says they were scattered. Do you know anybody that's just been scattered? They seemed up and down, up and down. I call them yo-yo Christians. They're kind of like nuts, fruits, and flakes too. But, you know, they're up one day, you know, after the great Holy Ghost outpouring, faith-building week of meetings, you know, when they just got a new, fresh vision. You see them a month later, and all of a sudden, every dream and every vision they had, all of a sudden, it seems like, 100 miles away. Up, down, up, down, up, down. Some people are scattered. But he said he was moved with compassion because these people, the sheep, were weary and they were scattered, as sheep not having a prophet. I'm sorry, I'm feeling a little resistance right now in the room. Let me read that again. He was moved with compassion on them as sheep not having an evangelist. Then he said to the... I'm sorry, I'm still getting some resistance. I'm feeling like you're putting the brakes on me. Can I read it one more time? It says, he was moved with compassion on them because they were weary and they were scattered as sheep not having a what? Now, you know, when you see the word shepherd in the Bible, that also translates and means pastor. Now, what's so amazing, and I still have not totally figured it out and wrapped my head around it, and I don't need to because God does a lot more things than what my brain can figure out. How many are glad that you're in covenant with a God who can do more than your brain can figure out? But what's so cool about this church is God's given you dual anointings. How many of you know this is one amazing marriage over here? I mean, it makes me laugh, but it's so amazing. Because between the two of them, it's like Stephen, full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. These men are full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom. And between the two of them, the Holy Ghost really double teams on you. I've been in ministry with co-managers, and it's amazing how well it worked. And the checks and balances. You know, every church people go, wow, who do they answer to? Man, there's so many things I could say this morning. My goodness, we don't have that much time today. Have you heard of the great shepherd, Jesus, that we're under? We're underneath him ultimately.
Yes.
Besides that, you know, the anointing on this ministry and the ministry that God raised up here from the Utterbacks. And, you know, Mama Sarah is still, you know, so much involved in this ministry and still as keen as ever in the Spirit. Amen. Keen as ever. Sharp as a tack in the Spirit. Knows the Holy Ghost better than probably all of us in this room. And so there's a lot of safety here. And here, that's what Jesus was concerned about. It was these people are weary and they're scattered as sheep not having a shepherd. See, the reason why, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, it says, as it was his custom to go into the synagogue. Jesus went to church, and how many of you know Jesus was our example?
Yes.
And if Jesus needed to go to church, how many of you know you need to go to church?
Yes.
And if the church, the house of the Lord, the building which we're to gather in, where the called out ones are assembled. If the Bible says this is the place together that has been dedicated, and how many of you know this place, this building, has been dedicated and since been saturated with power and anointing. I guarantee, you know, the anointing's transferable. You know, there in Acts, the 9th, the 11th chapter, or 19th chapter, yes, 19th, where he said, aprons and handkerchiefs were brought from his body. Evidently, he had been ministering by the anointing. He was carrying these handkerchiefs, and so these handkerchiefs were taken from his body, and anywhere where those handkerchiefs were laid upon the sick or the demon oppressed, it says they were healed and the evil spirits departed just from the laying on. You all know this if you're a part of this church. And so just in that cloth, not even Paul's hands, when the cloth was taken to somebody, wake this brother up right here. Now he's going to miss God. You're going to miss God if you don't pay attention. All right. Y'all help each other out, would you? Help each other. Don't poke him so hard that he yells, but just give him a little nudge. We don't want anyone missing out on God. And brother, I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm partly being funny with you, just playing with you, all right? But anyways, you know, what were we talking about? Huh? See, I did get a lot from Brother Hagin, didn't I? Y'all remember how Brother Hagin ministered. So do you think that there's any anointing in these cloths that you're sitting on?
Maybe.
Are you anointed? Is the anointing transferable to cloth? Do you think it's a maybe, or do you think you may be just releasing some anointing into that cushion? Could be. If you stay in the church long enough, you'll know that not a could be, it is. How many of you have been a part of this church for longer than 10 years? You know there's some anointing in this cloth. This church has been saturated. Moves of God has been manifested in this house. How many of you have been a part of some of those moves of God? So when you come into this place, it's a place for you to receive your visitation, impartations, deposits from heaven, the anointing which will remove burdens and destroy yokes. If there's an anointing in this room, which there is, can you say amen?
Amen.
So it was his custom to go to church. It should be our custom to go to church. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. This is the place that we meet with God. And it's a place that God has set us. And he set every member in the body into each and every church as it pleases him. Not as it pleases me, as it pleases him. Amen. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians. We'll get to some good stuff here in just a minute. We're just kind of working on some things. Working towards some things. Look at Ephesians. Chapter 4. Thank you, Lord, for unction today. Trusting him. Thank you for your help out there today. Some of you that know how to draw, I covet your support. We want to help some people today. Amen. Some of us need some help. You need some encouragement along this line. Because the number one reason that you're going to be at this church is because of these two men of God right here. Now, some people don't like that because it seems natural. It's like, wait a minute, I got to look to a man. No, you're not looking to a man. You're looking to the office that a man stands in. They're not able ministers, and they'll never have your answers to give you because of their higher education. Although if you talk with them, you know they're very educated. Matter of fact, Pastor Ed embarrasses me with his high education. I was like, no, I don't know anything about that either. Okay. But you talk. Stop talking. You're making me feel worse. And Pastor Gregory has more stories than anyone, more analogies than any person on planet Earth that I've ever heard. I don't. If that's not a gift, I don't even know what a gift is anymore. And I mean, how many of you got something from what he said earlier? That's why I said, you get these two men of God double teaming up on you. God knows, evidently he knew you needed this double team. That's all I can say. But you know what? The massiveness of the vision of this ministry is requiring something special. That just went right over your head. I'm going to be like Fox News. I report, you decide. You're going to have to make up your mind whether you're going to go with this or not. But let's get to a verse here. Verse 11 says this. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some. Everyone say some. Did you notice that not all of us are called to be prophets? Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you right now. Because we need to stop some of the parking lot prophecies, you know. We call them parking lot prophets. Oh, I got a word for you. Well, I just got a whole bunch of them. I don't know why I need one more from you. But help us. Everyone's a prophet these days. But you don't stand in an office. That's not to say that if you're saved, you're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, that the Holy Spirit gives you utterance and you can prophesy. But personal prophecy, you need to really be mindful that there are ministry gifts. They got the Word. They got the Holy Ghost. You're not the Holy Ghost. You need to save and reserve some of those things for ministry gifts. That's all I'll say about that. You're welcome. Pastor Ed, am I saying everything you wanted me to say? I'm trying to. Where's my list you gave me? I lost that list. Do you have it? For some reason, I feel like I'm going to embarrass them somehow today. And we brought them in for why? Okay. We need to pray harder. Okay, but look at verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, why did he put some pastors, some evangelists, some apostles? For the equipping of the saints, for the working of the ministry. Now, simply put, it means this. Your pastors are here to train you to do what you thought it was their job to do. I want to say that one again. It's their job. Do you know that shepherds don't reproduce sheep? Sheep reproduce sheep. Anyway, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Oh, by the way, I'm not a polished preacher like some. You know, just news flash, in case you're looking for something more professional, it's not going to get any better than this. I just want to throw it out there in case you're going, I wonder if he's got more than this. No, this is all you get. This is what you got. Work with me, all right? Now, I never confess to be a Paul speaker, but I am a very Holy Ghost anointed speaker. Amen. And I got some impartations for you. Because I know God. And I've walked with Him a long time. And I've been in back rooms with hundreds. When Annie and I met our first year together, we did 350 concerts in 1 year. That means almost 350 churches we visited in 1 year. We've been in the ministry 30 years plus. Do you think we've seen some things? Do you think we know anything? Traveled, been in Brother Hagin's penthouse suite at hotels over and over and over and asking him questions. Do you think Brother Hagin told us anything that might be worth any value to anybody? Do you think that we might? I went through 4 years of Rhema, not just two. I don't have time to explain that, but we had. It wasn't because I failed the first two. Stop thinking that. No, we just had opportunity because others in the Rhema Singers and Band had the opportunity to go, and so they let those of us who were already graduates go to whatever classes we wanted to. We were very blessed. And so I promise you, there really is some things that we know, and I'm not as dull as I seem, okay? Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every joint, supplieth. Now, I want to tell you something. If this is where God's called you, not only is there a supply of the Spirit here for you, and this is where, and really the only real place where you're going to get that supply that God intended you to have that you need for your life, but this is going to be the place where you're going to be offering your supply. It's like this. Every joint supplies. It's like if you imagine your fingers coming together. They're coming together. Every joint supplieth. When you bring your supply, there's others. Do you know that the person sitting next to you could be the source of your next promotion? That went over really big. Okay. Every joint supplieth. So you're bringing your supply, but yet you're hooking up to the supply. Your supply is here. If this is where God sets you, and you just have to have discernment and be just simply, it's not hard, be led by the Spirit. Is this where God's placed you? Is your home somewhere else? I tell you what, these men will tell you, if you know your home is somewhere else, please go. Because you're messing things up around here. Because you're going to have a weird attitude. And you're going to hold unforgiveness because things are going to rub you wrong. Can I tell you something that's really strange? I was at a church here just recently. And the Holy Ghost at the end of the service said, someone here, they're literally crippled and sick. And they're close to dying because they've got so much anger, so much bitterness, so much unforgiveness. It's overwhelming, the amount of unforgiveness, bitterness, anger in them. Do you know I gave an invitation for that person? I made sure even the ushers bowed their heads. I had an usher look at me like, I'm an usher. I go, yeah, shut your eyes. I didn't want anyone looking. I didn't want this person to be embarrassed. God, in His mercy, was trying to pull them back in and save them. I said, who is it now? You are filled with anger, filled with resentment, filled with unforgiveness, bitterness in your heart, and you're sick, and you know things aren't wrong. The Lord's saying, if you'll acknowledge that, right here, right now, you'll be set free tonight. Do you know 8 people raised their hands in a group of 50 people or less? And the person God wanted to set free didn't even raise their hand or respond, sat there on it. Do you know these are the people us ministers are ministering to? And we're trying to get you blessed because legally you are. We're trying to get you to tap into the river of God and enjoy the blessings, the favor, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking to people that won't let it go. People are wondering, well, I knew that faith stuff didn't work. People said, I tried that. Anytime from now on you hear someone say, I tried that and it didn't work. You ever see the infomercials for diets? Oh, I tried that diet. I tried this diet. I tried the other diet. I tried all those diets and none of them worked for me, but I found this one. And you look, you think, well, they didn't lose any weight. They go, what's wrong with this? And they, I tried. I tried this. I tried that. Oh, I tried all the diets. No diet works for those that try it. You do the word. You don't try the word. Thank you for that one clap. That was a lonely one, but appreciate it anyways. Yeah. I tried. Charles Capps said that, how many of you know Charles Capps? Jesus told Brother Hagin, go start having Holy Ghost meetings. There's many people that know how to teach faith. And Jesus told Brother Hagin, such as Charles Capps. When you get an endorsement from the head of the church, you know you're doing a pretty good job. He said this, trying means setting out to do something, and when it gets too hard to do it more, you stop. That's what trying is. Setting out to do something until you just, it's just too much, too hard for you, and you stop. Every diet will probably work for anyone if you stick with it. Some of you just need to stick with it. Everyone turn to your neighbor and say, come on now, stick with it. Are you all getting something today, or am I just up here blabbing my jaws here? I don't know. Why did I mention that offense, bitterness, resentment? Because there's nothing that will cut you off from the supply of the Spirit and the anointing more than offense. Your faith can't take the hit of offense. I heard a minister say this. There's three people that should never, ever be able to offend you, and that is God, your mate, and your pastor. And if you have honor for all of them, they won't be able to offend you. Sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church. I almost heard a cricket just now. I was like, if you want to cut yourself off of your supply of the Spirit, be offended. You won't hear anything more from God. And yet people go to churches and they're sitting out there. The Bible says, be tenderhearted, loving, forgiving one another. Have you had issues with the way things are run here? Wish they would do this instead. They never listen to me. I've been here 20 years, bless God. They have just never do what I tell them to do. I'm glad you're laughing about that because that's pretty funny. Because it's just sad, isn't it? How many of you believe that these gentlemen, these anointed ministers, pastors, believe that they're doing everything in their power to hear from heaven for you? I do too. Man, I've fallen in love with these guys, and I've just been around him for... You know, we have extra services that you all don't know about. We call it the meals. Because every meal is another service. Isn't that right? Man, we had a time yesterday talking about the things of God, and I'm just more convinced and more sure than I've ever been at any church I've ever been to, that God has got this amazing plan worked out. And somehow in His amazing wisdom, He put these two together to do what's about to be done. I've seen a lot. Been to churches of 8,000 members. Andy and I travel around the world. We go to small places and we go to some really big places. I've been with hundreds and hundreds of pastors sitting across the dinner table with them, hear vision after vision. I tell you, I've just never been any more confident and any more sure that these men of God have got their finger on the pulse of God for this ministry and this church. Amen. Maybe I don't have enough gray hair to be saying stuff like that, but I believe in your spirit, you know God's speaking. I know, you know, that would come off stronger from Fred Price saying it. Papa Fred, you know. If he was standing in the house, well, oh, yeah, they got their hand on the pulse. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, hey, they got the wisdom of the Lord. Hey, yeah. Oh, amen. Yeah, that's right. That's the word of the Lord, because Fred Price said it. Now, if you have ears to hear, you'll hear that the Holy Ghost is saying it. I said, if you have ears to hear today, you'll hear what the Holy Ghost is saying. And around here, I'm sure most of you know the importance of calling them pastor. Because, see, whatever you call someone is what you summons. I remember we used to be really, really, really good friends with our pastor, Pastor Scott Webb, who pastors Word of Life Christian Center in Birmingham, Alabama. We used to be buddies. They used to come to the Brother Hagin Crusades, and we started having meals with them, and man, we were just drawn to this couple, Pastor Scott and Phyllis, and now we've been a part of their church for 20 years. And when we first moved to Birmingham, matter of fact, we were at their house one time, and Annie was ironing in the basement of their house, and the Lord spoke up in her spirit and said, you can stay in Tulsa if you want to, but if you want to grow, you need to move to Birmingham and allow pastor to become your pastor. Well, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, grow, not grow. Class, I'm going to go over this one more time. See if you can figure out which one's better. We got grow, not grow. It's kind of like deal, no deal. Okay. How many of you like the good God deal? And so, you know, she says that God speaks to her more than when she's ironing than at any other time of her life. There's been many times I said, baby, just go iron. I mean, just get that iron out. Man, we'll iron this out if you just go iron. Okay. We'll just get this all worked out. But, you know, we loaded up the Beverly Hillbillies truck. I mean, we loaded up this big Penske trailer, you know. And, I mean, it was a sight, man. Everything we had, including the lime green couch that glowed in the dark. But we were broke way back then, but not anymore. And so we learned a few things. And so we got there, and all of a sudden, after being there for a few months, all of a sudden, every time I call, because see, we called them Scott and Phyllis, and I said, hey, Scott, you want us to come over tonight? Because we had spent a lot of time at their house. We'd sit in their jacuzzi. I believe in hearing from God in a jacuzzi. Yeah. Annie gets it when she's ironing. I get it when I'm in a hot tub. Because, you know, when the evil spirits departed, they went out seeking dry places. I figure, come on, you ought to laugh about something today. Come on, brother. You haven't laughed. Okay, you're with me? Okay, man. Show me some teeth. There you go. Show me some teeth. And so I believe if you're sitting at jacuzzi, you know, you're in a safe place. But anyways, moving along. So, where were we? I said, Pastor Scott, you want us to... I didn't even say Pastor. I said, Scott. And all of a sudden, Scott, saying Scott to him, didn't feel right to me. Because, see, I didn't need a Scott. Because Scott is the name of your buddy. But I needed, as a traveling minister, there's not one of us that doesn't need a pastor. And see, I needed something more than my friend and a buddy. I needed the office and the anointing and everything that goes along with the assignment that's on a pastor. I needed that into my life to help me stay sharp and stay with an edge and stay, you know, tuned into what the Holy Spirit is saying and have someone be able to look me in the face and say, you ain't right. I needed someone in my life to say, you know, you ain't right. And I've had that done. Not quite like that. I'm being a little dramatic. You know, you gotta. You got to preach a little bit, you know. But I'll tell you, in the spirit realm, it is like that.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it just hits you between the eyes.
Yes.
You know, there's two by four Christians, and then there's 4x4 Christians. Some of you, you know what I mean? You got to take a 2x4 and hit them before they'll get it. You know who you are. Pastors, just don't show any expressions right now. Some of you are 4x4 Christians. You got to have a 4x4 hitting you in the head before you get it. Did I mention we love you all? Okay, just checking. And all of a sudden I thought, Pastor, Scott is not right. And all of a sudden the Holy Ghost said, you know, you all need the anointing of pastor, and you need to address him that way. You ever watch that show, Judge Joe Brown? Do y'all love watching the wisdom of God that's on an office? I mean, to see, one time I was on the couch and I was watching Judge Joe Brown. I said, out loud, Annie was in the kitchen. Of course, I don't know what she was doing there because she doesn't cook, but she was in the kitchen. Now, I'm not making fun of her. I'm the one that cooks in our house. I mean, I cook good and it's okay. So I'm not really sure what she was doing in there. Making some Kool-Aid or something. She's at our house when it's time to eat. She'll say it's time to eat, and I'll go start the car. Okay, that's how it works at our house. Okay, but anyway, maybe it works differently at your house. But I'm trying to help you laugh a little bit to make this medicine go down a little bit better. Do you know what I'm doing right now? Just trying to make you smile a little bit. Because some of y'all need this medicine, and if it gets too intense, y'all will say, I'm not receiving from him anymore. I'm shutting him down right now. What am I going to do? Where am I going to eat after church? I need some fried chicken. You know, you just be all over the place if I don't make you laugh a little bit. So that's what I'm trying to help you out. Some of y'all are too religious out there. You know, I wanted to have a healing line at some churches just for those who haven't laughed in 6 months. If you haven't laughed in 6 months, come down here. We're going to pray for you right now. Oh, acting all religious and high and lifted up. All that like you don't get it on at home and you carry on and have a good time. Oh, you want to be stiff in church. That's your problem. You've been too stiff. Reserve. You know, these reserve signs doesn't mean you can't flow with the Holy Ghost. This reserve, that doesn't mean you're supposed to be like... Some people walk in the church and go, look at that reserve sign. I got to sit here. Got to be all reserved. I have lost this meeting right now. I can tell. This has been very strange this morning. But you watched Judge Joe Brown or Judge Judy. I was laying on the couch, you know, and I said, out of my mouth, I said, these people are so not pastored because no one could be that stupid if you have a church. Pastors are going to help you not be stupid. And you don't know how much some of you really need that. What am I doing? Sis, you going to help me out? Because I'm not sure where I'm going next. I really don't. These people are blabbing. And what's so phenomenal is Judge Joe... I almost said Judge Joe Judy. Judge Judy or Judge Joe Brown, you know, they'll see right through all the stupidness. And they'll say, no, you ain't right. That's what pastors do. See, this is why you can't get pastored watching TV. You can't get pastored at bedside assembly. You know, with Brother Pillow and Sister Sheet. You ever been? Y'all been to that church? Brother Pillow, Sister Sheet, fellowship with them? Oh, man. I'm going to turn on John Hagee. Ooh, he's anointed. Ooh. Preach it, Pastor John. Preach it. Go on with that. Yeah, yield to that. You can't get pastored like that. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, I want to see your face. I need to see your eyeballs. Why is that, Paul? He said, because when I see your eyes, I can perfect that which is lacking in your faith. There's something about pastor office and sheep's eyeballs that activates the anointing and the grace of pastor and that office to look into your eyes and say, okay, I see what you need. How many of you have ever had coffee or a drink or just fellowship with somebody and someone needed some advice or some help and you gave them a word and you yourself didn't even know you remembered that word. And the Holy Ghost gave you something that just blessed and ministered to them. Raise your hand if you've ever experienced the Holy Spirit giving you answers like that and you go, wow, where did that come from? Man, that was wise. That was filled with understanding. That was revelation. If you've experienced any of that, multiply that by 100 times. That's what these men have for you. And it's not because of education. Because some of you there might be someone here that's smarter than either one of these. But see, they don't have what they have for you because they're smarter. They have what they have for you because in God and in that office with all the grace, with all the anointing and all the things that have been imparted to them by the Holy Ghost and the mandate of this ministry that under God's leadership through Pastor Sarah said, now you are the ones. And because they've received that mantle, because they've received the assignment, all of the equipment goes with it. You need to really know that and value that. Because see, here's what happens when you say, Pastor Gregory, Pastor Carr or Pastor Ed, you are summoning. Just like when someone says, Judge Joe Brown, sir, judge, you summons the anointing of the judge to rule correctly over your case. When you say Pastor Ed, you're saying, man of God, I'm coming to you as a sheep. And there's something that you got from all the hands, all the ministers that have laid hands on you, for you to operate in the anointing and the offices that God's called you to, and all the wisdom and revelation and understanding that I need in my life as one of the sheep of this ministry, I'm summoning, when I say Pastor Gregory, I'm summoning the office, all the equipping, all the hours in prayer. All the times of they, both of them, I'm sure many times have been on their faces praying for you. 3:30 in the night time, getting downloads. For who? For you. 3:30, they're not polishing their jewelry. Hello. They're on their face at 3:30 in the morning saying, God, I thank you for that word because these people need this word. And some of us, we come in here because we like the orange carpet. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. And, you know, it's like marching band. We're just, hey, everybody, you know. It's like, and we're like missing. We're missing the visitation. We're missing the encounter. And then besides that, see, there's responsibility and accountability in this room. Because we can see your face. I'm telling you the truth. You can walk in the back door and one of the pastors can look at you and go, I see the cloud. It's from the Friday night, Saturday night movie. The dance, where you get it on more than you do at church.
Oh, y'all didn't like that. I just can tell right now. Yeah, some of you walk in, there's like a cloud following you. Remember Linus from Charlie Brown? Everywhere he went, you know, there's a big old cloud following him. You know? You come in here, you look like you got poopy pants. And the reason why you look that way is because things aren't right. And you know what? We see they aren't right. Brother Hagin would lay hands on someone and just watch the video. Watching the video. Do you know that spiritual equipment's real? Nothing's been done by accident at this church. This place is so highly favored. The blessing of the Lord, the healing power of God, the saturations of visitations. Lord, let's go again. What do you say we go again? But we're not going to do it without reverence for the house of the Lord. We're not going to do it without reverence for the offices. We got more disrespect in the body of Christ right now than has ever been, I think, ever. You have to honor. You have to show respect. I'm not talking about lifting a man up. We're not talking about lifting a man up. We're talking about honoring the gifts and the offices and the anointings. Believe me, they know they're accountable in such a huge way. You can see it all over them, their humility. I don't know, just the way God has done it here, they might show more humility than any pastors I've ever been around in my life. Do you think God can use someone that's willing to be humbled? What's the scripture says? They that humble themselves in due season, He will exalt them. Wow. So let's get to the really cool stuff real quick. What do you say? Look at Jeremiah chapter 3. So what are these men of God going to do for you? Well, let's look at that real quick. Hallelujah. God's doing a work in this place. He's recalibrating. You know, the prophet's anointing will recalibrate you. Aren't you glad for the voice of the Holy Ghost? When you hear a word of the Lord, it will recalibrate you unto the call, the purposes, and the depth of your assignment. And you need to be reminded, Redeeming Love Christian Center, of the hugeness of the assignment that you've been given if this is your home. But there's a way, there's ranks, and there's position, there's offices that we need to be reminded of and be mindful of so that we can receive properly our orders and be in unity and let the corporate anointing have its maximum potential. Everyone say maximum potential. How many of you want the anointing to flow and God's work to be done in the maximum potential of what God had predestined for this house? How many of you want the maximum potential? Not a part of, well, things have changed and, you know, things happened and now, you know, things aren't quite the way it was. And thank God. You know, Jesus hasn't fallen off the throne. I said, Jesus hasn't fallen off the throne. And you know what? I love how God just seems to just mess up people's minds by doing something so extraordinary above what you had thought was going to happen just because He's God. Hallelujah. So it says in Jeremiah, I guess it would be good if I was there. I was holding another place there. Forgive me. Get there real quick. Jeremiah chapter 3. Are you there? Look at this. Now, we talked about some church stuff and
attitudes and different things, but I want you to be very encouraged today. So let's say we are making a heart adjustment. Like, okay, this is a good reminder. I want to get more on board with realizing, reverencing, receiving better. See, everything we're talking about is so that you better receive the anointing. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Have you all left the room? Is my mic working? Testing, 1, 2. Daniel, did you turn me off for a second? I'm not off. I'm still on. Okay, because it got so quiet there for a second, I didn't know if you could hear me anymore. Okay, look what it says here. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 14. Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you 1 from a city and 2 from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds, pastors. Now watch this. According to my heart, which will what? Feed you with knowledge and understanding. And then it shall come to pass when you be multiplied and increase in the land. So God said, you need some understanding. So the way I'm going to get you understanding is I said in the body of Christ, the fivefold ministry gifts, the pastor, the prophet, teacher, apostle, evangelist. And so I set these offices in the body for your perfection. Now, you know, and I quoted the scripture earlier. I said, how many of you are glad you've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings? Ephesians says that. Amen? Amen. Now, scripturally, legally, technically, you've already been majorly blessed. But how, do you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, first few verses says, you know, that when you pray in the Spirit, you don't pray unto men, but you pray unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, you pray mysteries. You know, Brother Copeland said this. He said, it's not a mystery God wants you blessed. We know that. But it's a mystery. How's he going to get it to you this time? So you could say this. It's technically, legally a fact. You're already blessed. But the way it's going to get to you, God's delivery system, he chose ministry offices. Number one, pastors. Remember Matthew said he saw the sheep scattered as sheep not having. Didn't say prophet. Didn't say evangelist. Didn't say apostle, as sheep scattered and weary, not having a pastor, a shepherd. So the number one office Jesus said that sheep need is a pastor. Make sure you're hearing the majority of your diet from a pastor, your pastor. Oh, but Brother Copeland said this. Wait a minute. See, he sets you in this body, and yes, Brother Copeland might have some amazing revelation, but if what he's speaking of right now isn't in line with the stream and the direction of the vision of this ministry, of the pastor that's over your life, you need to not be so hooked up with that and get hooked up with this. Man, I hope I'm saying the right stuff today, man. I'm trying my best here. Man, I'm digging. And I know we've gone long, and I'm really quick to a wrap up here. Will you stay with me for just a few more? I'm trying to make you laugh to make it go down easier. I'm trying to impart something here today. Would you stay with me? I know I haven't, you know, I know my last name's not Hagen, but would you just stay with me? He said, if you have a pastor, you'll have understanding and knowledge. And because of that, because you've got a pastor in your life, he said, you're going to multiply and increase. If you're not receiving with the right heart, the anointing, the supply of the Spirit that God meant to you, because you haven't understood or received the anointing of, I summons the man, the ministry, the office of pastor, the anointing of pastor to me as a sheep. Pastor Gregory, I've got a question. When you say pastor, the moment you say Pastor Ed, it's like it causes the office to salute. What you need. Am I saying this right? Does this make total sense?
Yes.
They've operated it so many times. If you only knew. They probably amaze themselves sometimes. They'll go, Holy Ghost, that was amazing. Because you just can't do this on your own. So look at Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. Just flip over a few pages. We're talking about what you're going to get from your man of God if you understand that this office of pastor is what and why God sets you in this church. The number one reason why God set you here is He set you here, and then it's because these two men are your pastors. That's why you're here. You're not here for any other reason. Now, is it good to worship? I heard some amazing, wonderful things. To receive love, to get edified, to worship God. This is a house of prayer. It's a place where we pray corporately together. There's a lot of things, God things that we do in this room. But the number one reason why God set you here is He said, Pastor Gregory and Pastor Ed, they're your pastors. He said, well, I came here a long time ago. Pastor Clint was my pastor. Well, the mandate, I've said this several times. I keep coming back to this. The mandate, the plan of God, the anointing that comes by association has come down in ranks. God hasn't changed His mind about this ministry. What God started, and you need to understand that. It's not like, oh, well, that plan got, you know, detoured, and boy, that won't happen. No. Same flow, same anointing, same purpose, same plan, same mantle. Still pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 3, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 3. But I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful. Everyone say fruitful.
Fruitful.
Everyone say increase.
Increase.
Now, it sure would be nice if the Bible was true, wouldn't it? How many of you would just go a little bit with me and say the Bible's true? Would you go a little bit with me on that? You bought into this. The whole Bible is true. You actually believe that?
Yes.
Verse 4, I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be... I don't know about this last part. I just don't know about it. Man, it just seems too good to be true. Surely God made a mistake here. Surely God would not... cause shepherds, pastors to be in our life to cause this next thing to happen. Could He have done that on purpose? That He said, if you have a shepherd, you have a pastor, He said, you'll be what?
Yeah.
What? After dismayed, you won't fear, you won't be dismayed. And then what's the last part?
Lacking.
I'm sorry, you won't be what?
Lacking.
Any what? Do you mean by having a pastor in your life, you won't be lacking any good thing? But see, if you, up till this time and day, you thought you came to redeeming love just because it's comfortable. Man, I just like, it's so cool. That, I mean, just the church and the round, and man, I got great sound, and you know, I like the people there, you know. Just, you know. I like a lot of things about this place. You know, it's just really a cool, it feels good to me. If you've just been, whatever has been in your head, and you haven't been here because you know God has set you here, and if you haven't known that these men of God sitting right over here on this pew, in this front row, if you haven't known that the reason why you came in here is because you are about to hear something come out of their heart and mouth that's going to cause you not to be weary. It's going to cause you not to be scattered. He said you'll be filled with knowledge. You'll be filled with understanding. You'll be filled with wisdom. If you have a pastor and you receive the word of the Lord and the anointing that's on their life, burdens will be removed from you. Yokes will be destroyed from you. And you won't be dismayed. You won't have any fear. Will not be able to come against you, and you won't be lacking anything, saith the Lord. If you have a pastor, all these things that God had planned for you because you're a sheep and you need a pastor, all those things, when you come here and you go, Pastor Gregory, I'm ready to receive my blessing. I'm ready to receive the anointing. I'm ready to receive the gift in the office of pastor. Bring it to me. I'm ready. I'm here for my visitation. You're my man of God, and I'm ready to receive the anointing to just wipe out and blow out every hindrance, every entanglement, everything the devil has been trying to do for days and weeks and months, everything he tried to latch onto me and keep me from running my race. I'm ready to be set free today. I'm ready for the word of the Lord that's going to turn my situation around. He's going to turn the tide, saith the Lord. He's going to cause me to rise up and sit on high places. He's going to cause me to rise up and see myself in God like I've never seen before. I'm going to see myself as being increased. I'm going to see myself as being multiplied. I'm going to see myself walking in the full measure of every assignment and every plan and every purpose he put on my life. So where should you send your tithe? Some other ministry? Can I tell you something? Benny Hinn's not going to come to the hospital when you're there. I want to help somebody out right now. You just got a couple minutes for just me to just meddle just a little bit. Brother Copeland's not going to come to your house when you lost your job and give you a prosperity conference. He's not going to show up at your door. Hey, I heard you lost your job this week. I'm here to really pump you up. I promise you, Brother Copeland's not coming to your house. You get in the hospital? How many of you know that we're in this world? Tests and trials, tribulations, things that we didn't expect are going to try to show up because there's an enemy. And he wants to snuff your anointing. I said he wants to snuff out your anointing. Friend of God, you're here for such a time as this. There's people in heaven that wishes they were in your body. Yes. Creflo Dollar is not going to show up at your house when your kids are all messed up. He's good on marriage, but he's not going to show up to your house. Hey, I got some answers for you. I got the wisdom of the Lord for you. Listen, here's what you need to do about those kids. No, he's not showing up. T.D. Jakes is not coming to your house. Sorry, just to give you that information. But I know people that are sending your tithe, their tithe, even a portion of your tithe, their tithe to any one of these ministries. When God said, bring your tithe. He didn't say, send your tithe. He said, bring your tithe into the storehouse. So that there will be meat. What is that? That's that there'll be a living word, the bread of life here waiting for you because you properly honored God by bringing the whole tenth of your earnings into the storehouse, which can I help somebody out and make it real clear? Your church. Man, I've seen newsletters from some of the greatest ministries on this earth right now. If our ministry has been a blessing to you, we ask you to consider sending your tithe to us. Oh, is that what qualifies you sending your tithe to them? Because you got a tape series that really blessed you. Friends, if over here on this screen here, if on this projector, which is ran probably at the sound booth, if we could load it up put the flash drive up there and if we could put on that screen right there everything this church does for you, you would never, ever in your mind ever consider or think this place is not your storehouse in comparison to what a Creflo Dollars. Now listen, if you're a partner of Creflo Dollars and the Lord spoke to you and said, hook up, listen, if you've got any money left over after you've given your tithes and your offerings and you want to send it to our ministry, we will receive your offering. I just want to get included in on that. But amen. I'm not a dummy. I wasn't born yesterday, okay? But listen, we love Creflo Dollar. Send them an offering after you've given your best offering. This is your safest ground you could sow into. I may say that again. This is where your tithe belongs, and this is the safest investment for you to sow into. But if you have any, and one of those ministries have been a great source and blessing in your life, send them an offering. But listen, if we were to put up on that screen everything Creflo Dollars Ministry does for you, and then put on that screen everything that this church does for you on a regular basis, the list would be like, and then there is no way in a million years any other ministry, if this is your church, could qualify to be your storehouse. You would just, if you saw the difference, you'd go, I can't even believe I even bought into that. But Ephesians talks about that there'll be those that will come to deceive. We're trying to help you not be deceived. Because we want your giving to work. We want the grace to work. We want your faith to work. We want you to be in safe harbors. This is the house of the Lord for you. This is where the anointing is available to you. Right now, I want to do something really special. I want to reintroduce someone to you. Someones. They just happen to become my increasingly really awesome and cool friends. But more importantly than that, these two men of God are God sent. They're your visitation. Jesus couldn't come yet, so he sent them. And they've got an anointing and an office they stand in to keep the devil defeated and not be able to come and harm you. They're on the lookout for you. They pray for you. And because of the anointing that God has placed upon that on their lives, the mandate, the plan, the purposes of God shall be fulfilled. And they're going to continue to feed you with wisdom and understanding and knowledge so that you won't be scattered. You won't be dismayed. You won't be fainting. You won't have any fear. You'll be wise. You'll be sharp. The devil won't be able to have you. You won't be dismayed. You'll be filled with wisdom. You'll be filled with knowledge. And the Bible says you won't be lacking any good thing. Would you please stand up and give it up for your pastors, Pastor Gregory and Pastor Ed? We honor you, men. And we are thankful to God for all of your prayers, for your faithfulness, your steadfastness, for you humbled yourself under the call of God. And we reverence what God's placed on you, and we welcome you to your pulpit. Come on, gentlemen. God bless you. We love you. This church loves you. And we thank God for you.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. You know, our hearts, we spent some time with the Durants. I wanted to call them pastors. I guess that's a slip. I don't know. Maybe God, no, huh? But we've become just knit here in our hearts with them, even though we don't play golf. I guess we'll have to find something else to spend our time eating. Eating, that's what it is. But God has sent them by. It's hard to explain in your heart what God is ministering in your heart through them, and God is sharing some things through them that confirms some things that God has been speaking to Pastor Greg and I about. And also, you know, we're remiss. I would be remiss in also excluding Pastor Sarah in this mix, because we wouldn't be what we are today, first of all, without the Lord positioning us here. Because some of the things that I had to live through and experience, Pastor Greg and I both, working with Pastors Clinton and Sarah for so many years, 20 plus years, almost 25 years, working side by side to serve and not think about time and where, you know, I got to go. No, that never entered our minds. So I'd be remiss in not even including her, because we include her. Even now, you see us, but Pastor Sarah is there, and we bounce things off her. So she's part of this threefold cord. Even though we're out front here, we're doing things, we respect and honor her also in that office that she stands in. So you need to understand that also, that we're, I know Pastor Kevin has shared these things to present us, but you also need to, just from my heart, I'm eternally grateful to the Father, because there's some things he's spoken in my heart as a young man that, you know, I'm almost, I don't know the word to use, but as a young man in a very spiritual time of prayer, the audible voice of God spoke in my room. And I didn't understand it, but he said that just as loud, it sounded like somebody shouted in the room. And he said, "I will use you like Clinton Utterbach." And I said, "What the heck does that mean?" And I never understood it, but it's unfolding. And it's developing. And the same with Pastor Greg. There's gifts in each one of us that God has placed. There was no mistake in my spending 25 years around Pastor Clinton. There was none. I enjoyed it. I loved being around him. But God has a purpose in fulfilling his plan for this church. He started it through Pastors Clinton and Sarah, and you heard them. So I'm not saying something that they didn't say, but they said, "Well, we'll do it, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "You weren't my first choice." That's what he spoke to them. Did he not say that? He said to them, they weren't his first choice, but since they obeyed, see, and submitted to what? The plan of God. And that's all we're doing. We're just submitting to the plan of God. So it's not about any individual, but it is also about an office that you stand in so that God can then operate through that office for the benefit of the sheep. And that's really what Pastor Kevin is sharing. It's about the plan of God. It's about offices that individuals stand in so that the anointing of God, the words from heaven, can come. And so I receive everything. You know, I want to hear everything that they have to say. Why? Because of the offices that they stand in, and it was no mistake all the years they spent around the individuals in the offices that they did, so that they can bring and impart that to us. Amen. I'm excited about it.
And the other thing that has always been important for me is enduring enduring the words, enduring the training, enduring the instructions, not getting your nose bent out of joint, you know, because for whatever reason, sometimes, you know, it seems like everybody believes that their pastors hear from God until they say something contrary that you want to do. Okay. And then all of a sudden, they must have missed it. No, it's enduring all of those things because as sheep, we don't have the vision of a shepherd. And the shepherd sees things, and sometimes they don't even know why they see them. But they see them, and they speak based on what they see from the Holy Ghost, and the words that they speak are the words they hear the Holy Ghost saying. I never expected pastor to be placed in front of my name. I never expected minister or deacon to be placed in front of my name, not even playing a game. No, I'm not even going to role play the part. No. And when thought, I'd be lying if I said the thoughts never came. But anytime the thought came, I rebuked it. No, I'm serious. And I wasn't rebuking it because I thought it was going to come and I didn't want it. I was rebuking it because I wasn't going to wind up like Lucifer and think that I'm going to exalt myself above anything. And because God did not say to me, this is part of my plan, I would just hear it, I would rebuke it. But I always understood Jeremiah 3:15, that God gave me pastors after his heart. And I always saw Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah as God's heart for me and my family. And I would just latch on and stay, even when my flesh said, you get the heck out of here. And some former members would say, you need to leave there. And there are times when my brain was saying, and I've told you this before, I can go to Chestnut Ridge Transportation and drive a school bus. I don't have to stay here and take this. And then also, God, you better stop saying that because this is where you're going to be. And I figured I better get in line and stop that murmuring because God might have to shut down Chestnut Ridge Transportation because that was one of my fielders, you know. But we've come to learn, and even with Pastor Ed and I, we were talking about it about a month ago. I told him it was something I had never said to him. But one of our first encounters, if you will, was at LCA for field day. And things didn't go according to plan. And Pastor Ed, I thought he needed skates to get from point A to point B to get this and to get that. And so I was instructed, you know, by Dr. Connie, who's the superintendent of the academy, to go and tell Ed, field day has to start at this time. And that means he had to stop everything he was doing and get set up for it to start at that time. Well, they were over a half an hour late. And the enemy tried to put a wedge between us then. And I'm like, why is he responding like that? Because I can understand the frustration of everything that he had to stop, and then he didn't have to run around like that if it was going to be a half an hour, 45 minutes later. And then I'm wondering, how come I'm not responding the way I normally would if someone responded? And as the years passed, and we would sit and start talking about things, and I started realizing God is doing something with us. But we still didn't know what it was. We still didn't know what it was until we got the call, until we got the orders, right? We got the orders. Change in plans. Well, first of all, we were wondering, why do we have to be ordained as ministers? I mean, it was like we didn't need that. But again, we're good soldiers. This is what our commanders have said. They prayed, or in this case, Pastor Sarah prayed because Pastor Clinton had already gone to sleep. And our responsibility is to be obedient to God's heart. And so we were. And then we get called in the Friday before. Guys, have been a change in plans. Not ordaining you. You're not going to be ordained as ministers. And we withheld getting up and dancing around. You know, we did. I'm ordaining you as pastors with me. And that's what we did. We're like, and yeah, and she said, God said not to ask you, to tell you. And I've already ordered your desk plates and the name plates for your doors. I mean, and that was it. And she said, and I didn't bring you, God didn't put you here to be yes men. Didn't put you here to be yes men. And no, we definitely are not. You know, and we did a big because we didn't know what the expectation was. We just know how we are. And if we see it and we feel it should be said, we're going to say it. Never being disrespectful, but we're going to say it. And so Pastor Sarah has really made this transition so easy for us. She has deliberately taken herself out of the equation, so to speak, because she knows we will honor her. And she's, yeah.
No, I'm sharing here a sidebar stuff over here. But Pastor Sarah came to us and said the Holy Ghost, heaven, told her to step out of the way and let us run it. You hear what I'm saying? She's available. She's there all the time. We tell her things. We say, Mom, we're doing such. Okay, fine. Whatever you think. So we don't exclude her, but the Holy Ghost told her to step aside. Not step aside as far as office, or, but you steer, you run. What's the Holy Ghost telling you? And when we feel it's necessary, we do. We run it by her because we're honoring her as not only one of the founders, but she stands in that office, and she's anointed. I mean, before Kevin and Ann came, we said, well, what's what we're going to do? Okay, we want her to have her on it. She said, well, she gave us some other input. And we said, okay, fine, cool, it's good. We bear witness with that. So we're in sync. You understand my point? So, yes, God has placed us here. God has. I'm talking about through Pastor Sarah, not of our own doing. So it's a weighty, just in your heart. I guess that's the best way to put that. It's weighty. And the responsibility of shepherding, you're on my heart all the time. Let me ask a question. How many parents do we have here? Do you ever stop being a parent? You never do. You never stop being a parent. Even when your children are grown, they're still in your thoughts. They're still in your heart. Well, that's the way a shepherd is. You're in our heart all the time. Now, we may be out with them and having a good time, but you're in our heart all the time, listening and sensing. Even though they're talking, the Holy Ghost may say something. So you're always in our heart because that's what the shepherd's heart is. And I didn't understand that until I was standing in that office. There were things that Pastor Sarah and Clinton did, and I'd said, I wonder why they did that. Well, I didn't understand that until we stood in that office. And that's all I'm going to share.
See, and we will sometimes say things. And you think, well, oh, they must know. Mm-mm. We don't know detail. What we know is God said, say this to them. You know, and on that note, someone came to me and said, 2 years ago, you said this. I didn't remember. Because, and the reason I didn't remember is I didn't sit down and sit and look through the membership listing and say, I think I'll call out this person and say this to them. And they wanted to know, what does that mean? And I had to tell them, I don't know. I only know what I heard. But since that time, I was like, God, this person needs an answer. They need an answer. And God gave me the answer to share with them. I mean, that's what he does. Because we're the pastors. So what we don't know at a moment, if God believes that it's something that you need to know, he will tell us. And then we will tell you. And all we expect is for you to yield, just like we had to do and do, yield to the direction from the Holy Ghost when it comes from his person. We yield when we were speaking about some things and we're like, God sent you here. And he didn't just send you here to share things with the people. So if there are things that need to be shared with us, share. I believe I've told you before, I am one of those people where I have to be right. But not to the place where I'm going to pretend I'm right when it's wrong. Because I have to be right, I also need to know when I'm wrong and know how to correct it so that I can be right. But the reason that's important is that if I'm wrong or I miss it or we miss it, it affects all of you. And that's not just means if I miss it in terms of ministry responsibility. If I miss it in any area, it can roll over. So we're very, very mindful to make sure that we hear clearly, and that's what we want you to do, to hear clearly. I thought it was very, I don't know, appropriate doesn't seem like the word, but that's the only one that comes to mind. When you shared, Reverend Kevin, that the pastor's job is to train the sheep to do what they thought you should be doing. Okay. But that's what it is. Our responsibility is to make sure you hear from God just as clearly as we hear from God. Because the scripture doesn't say to train you to do the work for our ministry. It says to train you to do the work for the ministry. Which ministry? The ministry that he has already decided is for you. So we take this office, to say we take it seriously is an understatement. We honor the office. We honor the one who called us to this office. We honor the one that groomed us for this office. And we honor the one that continually mentors us in this office. And we consider it an honor that God trusts us with all of you.